Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It is a thirsty Thursday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Let's go to the phone line. There's a lot of other things I could talk about. Some of them I want to, some of them I don't. But I don't want to keep this man waiting. He's a busy entrepreneur, like he is a real estate mogul, and so him giving us his time on Thursdays, we have to value it. It's our guy, former Texas defensive lineman ND Kalu. ND, what's happening, man?
Far from a mogul, considering I just stole a Christmas tree stand from Kroger by accident, but I was very excited I got that $5 stand for free.
Did they not charge you, or did you just put it in your back pocket?
No, so I wait for the cheap trees to come out. So they had the little clearance sign on it. And I was arguing with the lady. I said, this is for the tree. She said, well, I have to charge you for the stand. And I said, there's no stand on it. But by the time I loaded it in my truck, I was like, oh, there was a stand on it. But,
no, well, no harm, no foul.
True Nigerian man. I appreciate it. I like that.
Waiting for the cheap Christmas trees.
So that's my confession for the week.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very good. All right, ND, let's go into the football of it all. Texans back off of the bye week. They will be facing off against the Miami Dolphins. And the real shocking stuff that happened earlier on in the week is that we finally got a little bit of a resolution to a question that we've been asking up and down all season long. In fact, we personally on the show have been turning it to Figgy and asking him, when is Christian Harris coming back? And he is now, you know, back to practice. I'm interested in, from your perspective and what you've gathered from this organization, especially because John Lopez has a little bit of something in writing on this and investing. Do you feel like he will play this weekend, or do you feel like this is just a getting him up to speed so that he can eventually return to the team, but maybe not this week?
As far as playing, I don't know, because the coaches, they always keep that close to the vest. And I never understood why they're not more transparent with that. I don't think Miami, Mike McDaniel, is going to change their game plan, you know, if they find out that Christian Harris is going to play. But with the time that he's been out, I do believe Russ may have set in. And I can see a scenario, if he does play, he's going to be on a play count at practice. You know, they're going to probably have him run extra gassers, if you will, to try to get back into game speed as soon as possible. But even if he does play, I'd be shocked or pleasantly surprised if he gets more than 20 snaps.
That's the number that I put on it. I said 20, maybe. Well, I think I said percentage. I said 20% to 30%. But where would he help this team the most? Yeah, the Christian Harris that you know and you like very much.
The sideline to sideline aspect. I mean, obviously we're missing a huge piece in the middle with, you know, Al Shire being out for the next 3 weeks, which is ridiculous, but I digress. But just getting somebody there behind the defensive line, somebody in that second phase of the defense who can make plays, whether it's covering tight ends, running backs out of the backfield, or the sideline to sideline plays that he makes. I mean, with Al Shire out, and I know it's not the exact same position, but just that second phase of defense, and when I say second phase, I'm calling the defensive line the first first phase right behind them to be able to add a piece when you've lost such a big piece. I think he could help in coverage and obviously against the run.
Now, real quick, I just want to ask, when I have an opportunity to ask a player, I'm like, hey, let me probe into your mind and your kind of experience here. Is there anything besides just kind of the basic conditioning aspect of it that's tough when you're coming back from an extended period of missing?
Just the whole reading and reacting, for a linebacker, getting comfortable with understanding the offensive lineman's stance. Because when you're a linebacker and you have to make the decision, am I dropping in coverage or am I blowing up the A-gap on a run? That's tough. So you want to make sure that you understand the pre-snap reads, the way the offensive linemen are set in their stance, the tips that the quarterback may be giving you, the depth of the running back. A lot of times you can tell if it's going to be run or pass by the depth of the running back. So just kind of getting into that thought process and being able to make those decisions at the blink of an eye.
So Reggie and I posed the question. Well, I posed the question and we discussed where would the Texans, where are they hurt more in the next 3 weeks by not having Jalen Petrie, who, as you may have heard, is out having a pec surgery, or Al Shaair? Well, because both of those guys are going to be out for at least three, and in Petrie's case, the entire rest of the season. I kind of feel like Petrie might be a bigger hit.
That's a tough one. That's like saying, what hurts more, knowing that your wife cheated on you or stole all your money? Like, they're both huge losses because of what Petrie gives you in the run game. And I love the way the coaches have adjusted his responsibilities. He had what some call a sophomore slump after an awesome rookie year. People thought he was exposed. So they said, okay, we understand what his strengths are. And I thought he was having another monster season, especially with the run support. And then Al Shaair, I mean, he's the heartbeat of the defense. So losing those two guys, that's tough. And if I had to choose, because I like answering questions and not avoiding them, I guess I would go slightly with Al Shaair because of what he brings as far as being a leader, the communication, and the heartbeat of the defense.
We're talking to our guy, Andy Kalu, former defensive lineman for your Houston Texans. And I want to get right to that tip. You've obviously played quite a bit in this league, and you faced off against offenses that were trying to attack a defense in various different ways. What's the particular challenge, especially for pass rushers, especially for the defensive line, with a team that gets the ball out as quickly as Miami does? How do you go about trying to attack that?
Hands up. And I love what you said. It lets me know you're watching film. Like, Tua does a great job of getting the ball out very quickly, similar to a former Miami Dolphin in Dan Marino. And I'm absolutely not comparing it to Dan Marino.
I don't know. That's kind of what I heard here, Andy.
In that one little aspect, because, I've had the opportunity to play against Dan Marino towards the end of his career. And all I remember is I was having one of my best games as far as a one-on-one matchup against the tackle, but it didn't matter because of the quick release, because Dan Marino was just releasing that ball so quick. So Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, these guys are from Mario Edwards. They have to make sure that they continue to do what they do as far as their one-on-one matchups, but you have to get your hands up. You have to get in throwing lanes. He's a little bit shorter, so you have to obstruct his view because he's not a guy that's going to get sacked. You're not going to have that 6-7-8 sack game against Tua because of that quick release, but you can still disrupt the passing game by getting those hands up and understanding where his passing lanes are.
I'm curious on your thoughts on what's going on the interior offensive line, because obviously Juice Scruggs is going to be out. Foot, I believe, is what it was. But we were thinking, okay, is Kenyon Green? We didn't even know he was going to come back. Is Kenyon Green going to step right in and play that with Jarrett Patterson at center? But all of a sudden, we got Zach Thomas at practice yesterday. Is that just coach, trying not to give away his hand, or maybe letting Kenyon Green come back slowly? Or how do you see it playing out on the interior?
You know what? I really think that's coach just saying, okay, Juice is out. I'm throwing any and everybody out there to see who wants to compete, to see who looks the best during the week, because we have to protect CJ Stroud. So I don't think they have anybody that's available that you say hands down, that's the guy. I think it's like, okay, we're going to throw it out there. Y'all are going to compete, not just on the football field, but in the meeting rooms when I ask you a pass pro, pass protection question, who's answering it quicker. So I think, John, and I could be dead wrong, that it's more of a let's throw everybody in the blender, see who comes out at top to replace Scruggs.
You have already let us know that you are going to answer a question and not run for it. I'm going to use this against you. I'm making you now the deciding factor. If it's either, maybe Zach Thomas or what have you, or if it's Kenyon Green, and maybe even once Juice Scruggs is ready again, which one of those guys do you go to, especially understanding that Kenyon Green was the starter, he got injured, but you seem to have found a little bit of stability with Juice Scruggs. Which one do you have more of confidence, or would you more go towards for the remainder of this year?
If healthy, Juice Scruggs. If healthy. Now, if we're talking about Kenyon Green versus Zach Thomas, that would be tough for anybody to answer unless you're at practice unless you're watching the one-on-ones. I feel more comfortable with Juice Scruggs. I want to see Kenyon Green. Anytime an offensive guard, I should say, is taken in the first three rounds, not just the first two rounds, I'm expecting them to be a legitimate starter in the league. When you spend that type of draft capital on the interior lineman, I want to see them, have that 10-year career. So with him being a first-round pick, and I know the pick doesn't matter in year three. Heck, the pick doesn't matter as soon as the regular season starts of your rookie year. But I want to see every opportunity for Kenyon Green to succeed, or at the very minimum, be comfortable in saying that we gave him every chance and it just didn't work out.
All right, one more for you here from me, Andy. Coming off a bye week, is it asking too much to say, okay, they're going to be healthier, they're going to be rested, they're going to have a better plan for things, and all of a sudden some of these quote-unquote problems that we're seeing are going to all of a sudden get better?
That's what you hope. That's what sounds good. That's the easy thought that, hey, they have 2 weeks to prepare. They're going to be in their playbooks. The coaches are going to be on the whiteboard. They're going to self-scout. You know, I remember Andy Reid would tell us that during the bye weeks, they would swap film with the offense and defense. So the offensive coordinator would give the defensive coordinator all the offensive film and say, hey, how would you attack us, and vice versa. So if they did all that, you do expect and hope to see a cleaner game. You expect to see different plays that maybe we haven't seen on the offensive side of the ball, maybe a little bit more aggressive with the play calling. But I don't think you just come back and say, you know what, we fixed everything. Let's go on this 4-win streak and go straight to the Super Bowl. I hope that happens, but
yeah, of course.
Yeah, that would be great. We're all pulling for a Super Bowl here at this point. Not just at this point, at any point. But what's your read on this game? Texans winning this one?
Man, I'm nervous. They don't have to win.
Must win, John.
But it's definitely not a must win. To me, the only time must win is true is when you're in the playoffs or you're playing in
the game where you have
to win to get into the playoffs. Like, that's the only time it's a must win.
That's my guy there.
Oh, yeah. I've always thought that. But the thing is, for the perception, for the idea of this being a top-tier team, you have to beat good teams. And Miami, they're pretty much on their last leg. They pretty much have to win out. They're not going to win their division if they want to get a wild card. They do have a lot of talent, so I think this would be a very good win. So I'm putting money on the Texans, but I'm watching that game with a little bit of bead of sweat coming down my forehead.
Does Mark Gastineau is he legitimate in his beef with Brett Favre?
I just saw that and I thought it was sad.
Yeah.
Like, as a guy who looked up to Mark Gastineau, who wanted to tailor my game after a guy like that, when I saw that interaction, I actually felt bad for Favre also. I really feel bad with a lot of these greats, the NFL greats, like the Mark Gastineau, who it feels like all they do is hold on to the past and they can't get through it. We all knew that Brett Favre gave that record to Michael Strahan. I remember watching that game. I was still playing, and I was like, that's kind of, chicken bleep, the way it happened. And I'm a Michael Strahan fan. But to see Gastineau, and he was really hurt, and I get it, but man, you're Mark Gastineau. Like, the people that matter, that know football, they know about your greatness, and for it to really take a toll on him, I actually felt bad for him.
Yeah, that was kind of the way that I felt as well. But yeah, that was a tough scene. Andy Kalu, Always appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time. I'm going to drum up more shenanigans for you next week. I feel like I was a little light on the shenanigans for you. But we appreciate your time here.
Well, y'all keep up the great work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right, there man. He is. Former Texans defensive lineman, N.D. Kalu. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Obviously, Rockets win. More news about the Astros. And I guess maybe someone who doesn't like Mark Gastineau. We'll do all that next.